Do you know what you want for Christmas?
A cute toy.
No, I just want my family back.
That's what I want for Christmas.
We'll see what Santa can do, okay?
It's Christmas, so be of good cheer.
Merry Christmas.
Tis the season to watch telly on Channel 4. Stream now.
Think about cheese. Make your thoughts cheesier. Now add 100% chicken breast fillet, chipotle sauce and a mega cheese melt. And it's giving the new cheesy chicken stack at McDonald's. Did we mention it's cheesy?
Cheese!
Available until the 4th of Jan 2026 from 11am. Price and participation may vary. Subject to availability.
You are listening to the Glass Cannon Network, the premier source for role-playing game entertainment.
Hey Nish, Jared Logan here, GM for Blood of the Wild. You are about to embark with us on an epic journey through Pathfinder 2E's Quest for the Frozen Flame adventure path. This is an adventure path unlike any other ever published. What makes this one so special? Well, does the word megafauna mean anything to you? Expect giant otters, polar bears, dinosaurs, mysteries on the tundra, and more prehistoric mayhem than you can shake a spear at. And if you like what you hear today, then I have good news for you. There's already a mammoth amount of Blood of the Wild waiting for you. You get what I did there with I put the mammoth in, and then there's going to be mammoths. You can listen to over 100 episodes of this series right now on our subscription service. Just head to jointhenation.com or follow the link in the description, sign up as a premium subscriber, and trek with us as we explore the realm of the Mammoth Lords. But enough talk, let's get into it. This is Blood of the Wild. Mammoth Lords, what's up? My name is Jared Logan, and you have just tuned into Blood of the Wild, our playthrough of the Quest for the Frozen Flame adventure path from Paizo Publishing for the role-playing game Pathfinder. You're listening to the Glass Cannon Network. We're the ones that are playing through this, and with me I have a stellar cast of warriors and foragers. Please welcome Joe O'Brien, Paula Deming, Skid Maurer, and Mary Lou. Welcome to the realm of the Mammoth Lords, guys.
Feel like they need to like howl at the moon when you say like Blood of the Wild. I was like, ah, which is a strange impulse, but I did feel that. So I've done
that
it now.
That was a very
oh my God. I actually do an incredible elephant, which I think is probably an incredible mammoth.
Here we go.
For the audience at home, the only way Mary Lou was able to do that was she also had to do her arm as though it was an elephant's trunk.
She did not just do the sound. It was immersive, fully immersive. Also did the arm as a trunk, which is necessary for my full character immersion.
For real, this is an audio-only show, she could not go halfway.
Sometimes, simply not how I work.
It's in the body. It's in muscle memory. You got to lift the arm. Mary Lou, I welcome you and invite you anytime mammoths are mentioned to please start making those noises willy-nilly.
You bet. Okay, you're going to regret that.
I was going to say, but Mary Lou's going to take that very seriously.
It's going to happen a lot because this entire campaign takes place in the realm of the Mammoth Lords, which, you know, it doesn't get that. There it is. It's right, like the secret word on Pee-wee's Playhouse.
It is.
When Jared, before we started this campaign, was like, look, I want us to take this seriously.
Really
like,
seriously.
This is going to be a dramatic story, and we've immediately opened with
mammoth.
Willy-nilly mammoth elephant sounds.
I promise I'll keep it grounded.
Jared. Well, we can also have fun. You know, we can have fun.
I do love to have fun.
ideally, we'll have like a really kind of emotional scene, like maybe even like a romantic scene, and then I'll mention mammoths and Mary Lou will come right in with the... Yeah, exactly.
Just that's unbelievable what we want to set timing.
That's exactly what we want to set up.
Great. Great.
I'm wondering how much we need to tell our audience. How much do we need to tell them? Pathfinder is a fantasy D20 role-playing game. If you're familiar with the Glass Cannon, you should be familiar with Pathfinder. This adventure path is fairly new. It's for the second edition of this role-playing game. It takes place in the realm of the Mammoth Lords. Do they need to know anything else? I think that that should bring everybody up to speed.
I need to know what the Frozen Flame is. I'm very curious about it.
What if I just told you right now? Oh, okay. Well, all right. What you guys need to know about what's going to happen in this adventure is, and then I just...
I would think, you know what? I think in terms of the Glass Cannon Network, first of all, we don't know that that's the only audience that's listening to this, right? So I think that they need to know about us too, definitely a little bit. And even Glass Cannon Network folks that foolishly didn't watch or listen to Time Watch need to know more about Paul Deming and Mary Lou.
Yeah. That's a great, great impulse, Joe. So let's find out about everybody. I'll go first. I'm Jared Logan. I'm 23 years old. I like surfing and I like to fix cars in my spare time.
Totally.
When
real
I'm
California
not
boy.
Running an adventure path based on fantasy fiction. Mm-hmm. And
or just running down the beach shirtless.
Yeah.
You do that too. That's a right. lot.
And I love to get laid. Okay. That's pretty much all you need to know about this guy. let's hop over to Mary Lou. Mary Lou, what do you want the listening audience to know about you?
Hi, I'm Mary Lou. I'm a comedian. I started playing tabletop games during the pandemic because I just thought that D&D lived and died in the 80s because I was just a different kind of nerd growing up. And it became my favorite thing to do, maybe ever. And I've been so blessed to play with the Glass Cannon Network. So here we freaking go, guys.
What kind of nerd were you if you weren't a tabletop role-playing nerd?
Was not a tabletop role-playing nerd. I was like a school nerd, was big into school and getting A's. Was really into getting A pluses. That was probably my favorite hobby. And reading lots and lots and lots of fantasy novels.
Mary Lou and I would have been really good friends. I wish we had known each other when we were younger, because you basically just described me.
Yeah. In school. Yeah. Thick as thieves, my friend. Yeah.
A lot of straight A students up in this bitch.
So, you know, we really want to get this Pathfinder thing right. And yeah. will there be a grade at the end? Because we need an A in this.
I think I do need an A. So if all of
the... I can
give
grades if you guys want.
I think you and the listeners could give me grades as long as they're really good ones. After every episode, that'd be
trying
great.
Trying to maintain a GPA here. Mm-hmm. So no B pluses just because. Like, okay.
Pleasure to have in class, difficulty focusing. That's fine. I accept that.
I'll tell you what we'll do. At the end of the entire campaign, we'll name a valedictorian.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That the pressure is, oh my God.
So bad.
Oh, no.
The two of them.
You've just awakened something just really horrible inside me.
I was the salutatorian of my high school class graduating. So shit. Not quite valedictorian, but close. And now I really need to redeem myself.
Is there anything else that we need to know beyond your academic status at age 18?
I'm a people pleaser. I'm an overachiever. I've
got an amazing
board games.
Podcast. Mm. Yeah.
I do and podcasts, the former Death by Monsters, the hopefully now releasing Remember, Remember, which is all about history. And this is my first time playing Pathfinder.
Me
I'm
too.
Coming from a D&D kind of world. So be patient with me, but I'm going to do my best.
All right. People already know these other two gentlemen, but maybe, Joe, is there one thing people don't know about you, even if they're like a Glass Cannon fan that you'd like to share right now? A secret, something embarrassing, or something about, you know, intimacy with your wife, anything like...
No, I can't think of anything. After all these years...
these people know everything about me.
Yeah.
It's pretty bad. I talk too much. I talk too much into a microphone. No, man, I'm really excited to dive into a new campaign. We've done this a few times on the network, and only a few, right? Like, we've been playing for many, many years, but only a few times have we started a new campaign. And so it's kind of a rare gift. And I've been looking forward to today for a couple months, to be honest, and really looking forward to it ever since character creation, which was just so fun.
So
I'm excited to hop into this new character and take them for a spin. So, yeah,
me too.
I'm just really pumped.
I feel the same way. Skid, do you have a secret that you'd like to reveal to all of us?
I just realized, as you guys were talking about your backgrounds and stuff, that I've basically been a professional hanger-on for the last 20 years. Because
that's my goal, to be perfectly honest.
It's not bad, because when Nick Lowe moved in to the editor at Marvel, when he moved into our part, we became roommates. I basically just started hanging out at Marvel.
Nice.
And there's just like, there was a couch like in one of the hallways outside the office. And I just sit on the couch and I would just like talk to people walking by. And that's been my life. That has driven every single thing that's happened in my life since 2002.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
It's not what you know, it's who you know. And if you're especially fun to talk to on a couch. So
I guess it worked out. Yeah, it was funny. Joe Quesada, who was the editor-in-chief at the time, we were down at the Philly Comic-Con. And I was hanging out in the Marvel suite, you know, with all my friends. And Joe turned to my friend Andy. He was just like, what does Skid do here? He doesn't work here. He doesn't work here. So
you're like a mascot, the local, or like the office dog.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
You're there. Like, everybody loves you. Everybody would say like you're absolutely required for the office to function, but like what do they do? I don't know. They like kind of hang out, make people feel great.
Hang out, make people feel better about themselves, which I tried to do on a
That's
daily basis.
Important. I think that like, especially in the Marvel offices where it's probably pretty crazy.
Yeah, it's probably pretty important.
Yep.
Yeah. And sometimes he dresses up like Spider-Man, and that's okay too.
Yeah.
But I'm also extremely excited about this campaign. I've been looking forward to this for a really long time. I'm so excited about my character and meeting everyone else's character. I'm super pumped. So, and also to play for Jared, play as a GM. I'm so excited. So very pumped.
It's going to be amazing, guys. This adventure path is so unique and exciting and thrilling. And now I think it's time to play. So I begin every game with a slightly pretentious overwritten intro.
Yes.
Ready to launch your business? Get started with the commerce platform made for entrepreneurs. Shopify is specially designed to help you start, run, and grow your business with easy, customizable themes that let you build your brand, marketing tools that get your products out there, integrated shipping solutions that actually save you time. From startups to scale-ups, online, in person, and on the go, Shopify is made for entrepreneurs like you.
Sign up for your $1 a month trial at shopify.com/setup.
The Regency era. You might know it as the time when Bridgerton takes place, or as the time when Jane Austen wrote her books. The Regency era was also an explosive time of social change, sex scandals, and maybe the worst king in British history. Vulgar History's new season is all about the Regency era, the balls, the gowns, and all the scandal. Listen to Vulgar History Regency Era wherever you get podcasts.
Goodbye, Kyle!
Did the sound of those words call to you like Pavlov's dog? Then you might enjoy our podcast, Turtle Time.
Every week, you can join me, Riley Hamilton, and my co-host, Amy Scarlotta, as we cover the most pressing Bravo news and dig into the new episodes to answer important questions like, who the hell is Adrian Malouf in this world?
Listen to Turtle Time on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. New episodes every Wednesday and Friday.
The other lords say our days are numbered. Our following dwindles. Enemies dog our footsteps, and we have failed in our sacred charge. They say we will soon pass away into the endless Arctic night. They are mistaken. We are strong. Broken, but strong. The snow blinds our eyes, and yet we see true. The wind freezes our skin, and yet we endure. Their weapons break our bones, and yet we stand tall. Our hearts beat, and it is like the sound of a herd of mammoths stampeding across the tundra. And in each heart flows the blood of the wild.
The blood of the wild.
I feel so proud to be a Kelid right now. I'm like ready to go.
Yeah.
Yes, I did. I did mention mammoths and did not hear a mammoth trumpet. And
okay, I was thinking it wasn't the right time.
No, it's always the right
okay,
time.
Okay, now I know.
It's
now
always
I know.
The right time.
But please know that I thought about it.
I know that you did. I know that you did, and you were trying to be respectful. But I do not deserve anyone's respect.
Great. Good to know.
Noted.
Let us travel together to the northern reaches of the continent of Avastan on the planet of Galarian. And here in front of us is a wide, sweeping plain of verdant wilderness, cold, frozen ground, rime-covered, frost-encrusted ground, but here and there, green plants and lush green valleys stretching out through this realm. And maybe our camera flies over an encampment. We see hide tents and fires that have been kindled across the plain, a wide encampment. And near that encampment, we see huge lumbering furry forms. They are mammoths trumpeting their, yes.
That's so good.
And we can even hear their footsteps, so large and lumbering are these creatures that there's a thoom, thoom, thoom across the plain as they move about. And then our camera continues to sweep across the plain past the encampment into some forest. And then we dive down into the forest and we find a group of six figures moving through the woods and the undergrowth, and here it is very cool. The air is crisp. It bites your nose a little bit, but it is the early days of spring. Spring is about to dawn in the realm of the Mammoth Lords, and so shafts of sunlight have finally broken through the clouds. And so in this cool air, you feel the sun on your face. You can hear bugs and birds finally, you know, moving in the trees. The land is coming to life again. And this group is moving quietly through the woods, quietly through the forest with a goal in mind. And at the head of this group is a woman named Weepa. Weepa is a half-elf, and she is the trainer and leader of your band of scouts. And Weepa she's got long gray hair, almost purplish hair, done into kind of an elaborate braid, you know, the large pointed ears of an elf, but the eyes of other types of humanoids. You know, elven eyes are often, you know, one color, but she has pupils like a human because she's a half elf. And the other thing to know about Weepa is that she is 3 seasons pregnant.
Oh boy.
Oh, wow.
So anytime. This is that's the first thing we're going to have to do.
Anytime. But, you know, she's moving still with a deftness and a nimbleness that belies her incredible skill as a scout. And she has been tasked with teaching you and your fellow scouts the ways of the Banner of the Broken Tusk and how to carry out duties as a scout for this following. And so she moves through the underbrush with you. She puts her finger to her lips, telling you to be quiet, and she looks off into a clearing. With you is another figure, one of your fellow younger members of the following, another young man training to be a scout, and this is Pacano. Pacano is huge, handsome, and strapping. He's all shoulders, and when his shoulders flex, his brown skin reflects the light of the sun. Pacano is the epitome of a great warrior of the Broken Tusk. And as Weepa puts her fingers to her lips, Pecano turns to you and he smiles a big winning grin like, here we go. Finally, it's our chance.
So he's basically like himself. Gaston.
He is like he's Khaled Gaston.
Gaston.
Just and when to paint he turns, a picture for everyone.
When he turns and he smiles at you, who is he smiling at? I think first he turns to a young woman with white hair. And that's all I'll say before I turn it over to Paula to describe further.
Of course he's smiling at me. He turns around and he's smiling at me. Hi, I'm Yelka. If you are looking at Yelka, what you see is a young girl, just 16, just having come of age. She has the deep tan skin of a person of Khalid heritage, but she has bright blue eyes and white hair that she keeps braided back in a single braid very tightly, so no wisps are loose if she can help it. She's dressed in animal hides, the knees of which are reinforced with fur, like knee pads. She spends a lot of time, you know, crawling around looking for herbs and also being sneaky as she scouts around. Around her collar, around her neck, is a collar of raven feathers. This is the only thing on her outfit that looks like it is meant to add some warmth for her. And the feathers always seem to be moving just a little bit, as though there's a breeze blowing around her all of the time. Around the palms of her hand, she wears little wraps. And on her belt, she's got various pouches. One contains pebbles, because she's always picking up random little rocks, and a sling that is hooked by it. One bag holds any herbs or other small plants and bits that she scavenges when she's out and about. She also has on her belt a bone dagger that she is intensely proud of. Carved into that, the hilt of that dagger, if you were to get a good look at it, is the symbol of a raven. And as Pecano looks at her, she just kind of gives a nervous, goofy smile. And is like, yeah. We're doing this. That's what she's trying to say back with her eyes, but she's super quiet. But her eyes are going like, yeah, yeah, okay, cool.
He puts his hand on your shoulder for a second, like, here we go. It's happening. It's happening. And then...
It's cool.
He looks over to...
I'm focused in.
He looks over to a fellow scout in training, AWOL. And who does he see when he looks at his companion, AWOL?
Oh, this is amazing. All right, we'll say he puts... So, this is just so funny. So, he sees a young man, also Khaled, also 16, also just coming of age. And he's a few steps behind, we'll say, Yelka. He's walking forward quietly, sneakily, and he looks comfortable. He looks as if this is his ideal place to be right now in terms of the sneakiness and the low. He's slightly built. He's not large. He's small and rather fit and skinny. He's got a also wearing animal hides. But what jumps out at you is he's kind of adorned with a lot of bright jewelry. He has a necklace around his neck that seems to be carved stones of various colors. He has two earrings in his ears that are a bluish sort of tinge and kind of almost reflect like glass. He has this shock of red hair, red, orangey, different colored hair that's kind of all over the place, like in contrast to Yelka's like tight braid. His hair is kind of like partially shaven and shortened on one side and like a little bit longer on another, and almost has like a mullet kind of vibe to it, where it comes up high in the front and then like goes down long in the back, is not too long on the sides. But the hair itself is not, he is not a redhead. If you could tell by looking at his normal dark-colored eyebrows, he has dyed his own hair in an attempt to kind of make it look like fire. It has part of its red, part of its orange, part of its yellowish in some places. And he's just like, he's got a bow, a short bow on his back. A sling hangs off of his rope, or off of his belt to the side. Sheathed on his belt also you see two stone knives, we'll call them, but they're larger than knives. They're a little bit more imposing than knives, but also not as long as a sword, right? You might call it a short sword, but it really doesn't have the look of a classic kind of medieval short sword. It's a little bit more of a large knife. And he's looking away from Pacano and the tracker here, Weepa. He's got his eye on something in the distance. And this is when he just walks right into Yelka. As they've asked the band to stop and be quiet, he just, oh! And he bumps into you and then stops, wide-eyed, looking at Pacano.
Weepa gives you a disapproving look and says, I will.
Sorry, sorry. He whispers, head down.
Yelka doesn't really mind because this bumped her right into Pacano.
This bumped her even closer to Pacano.
Like, oh, our shoulders brushed for a second. I didn't know I would have such an immediate intense crush on Pacano, but this is happening.
But I mean, it's Gaston. What is one to do?
I ship Yelka and Pacano in the first 3 minutes of the show.
Okay.
Now, behind a wall stands a looming figure. Skid, would you please tell us about Olog?
Behind Pacano stands a gigantic orc, full-blooded orc.
Full-blown orc?
Full-blown orc. Dull green skin, coarse gray hair, all of that. Standing at about 7'4", weighing about 500 pounds. He's 11 years old. He's actually, like, it's the human equivalent of, like, he's, like, 17. So he actually is still growing. He's not as big as he's going to be. So, and he's got an oversized two-handed great axe that's too big, looks like it's too big even for him. And it's not of Kellid make. It's something that was recovered somehow from some other culture, some other place. This is a gigantic great axe slung over his back. And I got to talk to you about this, Joe, but he's also got a necklace. And it's it's made up of these like stone beads interspersed by what looks like bird heads. They're crow skulls festooning him around his neck, this gigantic necklace.
Awesome. Awesome.
And coming up in the rear, behind all of these figures, is a young woman. Would you tell us about this young woman, Mary Lou?
Hello!
Oh, and she has someone else with her, you could tell us.
Yes, so you see a tall, very slender, very pale young woman. Pale, pale white skin with long white blonde braids that, in contrast with Yelka's, are just sort of like, I don't know, they're just sort of there. Like maybe she did these braids a couple weeks ago, and she's never cut her hair, so they're very, very long. Maybe sometimes she wraps them around her head if they're getting in the way. There might be a feather or a leaf stuck in there if she thought it was pretty. But this is Raga. This is Raga Bear's daughter. And Raga is looking at Olog, and you can hear her whisper under her breath, wow, so large. Wow. She's got this pale white skin, this pale white blonde hair, and her eyes are so ice blue that the one closest to you actually looks like it's almost white.
That's how light her eyes are. She's wearing animal skins. Looks very functional. But she's got a... her one statement piece, perhaps, is that she's got a cloak of white bear skin, white bear fur. And she's also wearing a necklace. But in contrast, hers is just like maybe a strip of leather knotted in between 10 bear claws around her neck.
Awesome. Oh, I gotta get a necklace.
And
really? You gotta up your necklace game.
Gotta up
y'all.
Your necklace
game. I got game. Myself a cool collar.
You got a collar of raven feathers. That's pretty necklacy.
The band of the necklace. That's what they call this group.
And she, if you see her vibe, she is just happy to be here. Just absolutely stoked to be here. Moving as silent as the night. Absolutely no sound when she moves. And right behind her is her brother, who is a small polar bear. He's young. He's not fully grown yet. He's clearly like an adolescent. His name is Brother Bear. I call him Baba because he's my baby brother.
Oh my god.
And he, yeah, there's not much more to say except that he's a polar bear for sure. Yeah, big time.
Awesome.
And yeah, just so happy to be a part of the group.
So Baba is snuffling through the brush.
Mm-hmm.
And now if you look at your roll 20, you'll see the clearing you're all looking out upon.
Whoa, right to the map.
Mm-hmm. Yes, right to the map. And you'll see what Weepa is pointing at. Weepa is pointing at an enormous bull moose that's standing near a stream and drinking. And you know that you've all come out here into the wild lands to take down a moose or some other large animal to serve as a great feast for the ceremony of the Night of the Green Moon. It's a huge celebration for your following, your band of warriors and mammoth herders who are known as the Banner of the Broken Tusk. You're about to celebrate a holiday called the Night of the Green Moon, and you've been tasked with bringing home a feast for the Night of the Green Moon. And so Weepa, she stands and she gestures to the she gestures and can you see Weepa right now?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay, there she is.
She is very pregnant. Awesome.
Yeah, she's very pregnant.
She's the most pregnant you can be.
Yeah.
So Weepa
what a badass. Yeah. 3 seasons pregnant and leading a hunt.
Like, yeah. Right. And the illustration I just showed you had her standing, but you should know that she's that pregnant, but right now she's like crouched beneath a bush, like in like a perfect form, like ready to spring.
Honestly,
or move
that
quickly.
Baby's just gonna like slide out of her, not to be crude, but she's just gonna be like bloop here, all right, and then go. Like, she is so,
and then take down a moose.
Oh, we finished the hunt.
I know. The baby's gonna pick up a javelin and join in.
Instantly.
Weepa looks at you and says, "So, scouts, how can we turn this hunt to our advantage?"
Well, do you not remember the lessons I've already imparted?
I think we need to cut off its path, right? Wherever it could run, we need to make sure we've got someone in every direction so it can't get away. Isn't that right?
I love that idea.
This is a good plan.
Yelka looks, kind of gives a little glance to Picano, and then says, I think we should probably stay downwind of the moose.
Picano doesn't really pay attention to you and says to Weepa,
"We need no advantage but my spear. It will strike true."
Careful, Picano. You're going to change my mind about you pretty.
Raga goes, "Oh, these are all such good ideas. But perhaps we could just set up like an ambush and I could force it into the ambush and we catch it there. Seems simple."
So you're saying you'll block its exits, Ewol. And then you will jump on it from quiet and from shadow. Is that right, Raga?
Of course, anywhere. Or I can drive it into your arms. Whatever the group prefers.
Well then, scouts. And Weepa moves back behind you, back around behind a bush. The hunt is yours.
Oh my gosh, I'm so nervous.
Okay.
This really is nerve-wracking.
Now you must prove that you are true members of the Banner of the Broken Tusk. Now you must prove you are ready to take the responsibilities of a scout. Show me that you can bring down this moose, and I will tell the tale to Grandfather Awa and the other Mammoth Lords.
Oh my goodness.
So here's the deal. You want to block its escape routes? Mm-hmm. Tell me exactly how you're going to do that. If you want to, you know, get close but still be hidden, mm-hmm. tell me how you're going to do that. Everybody can kind of, you know, the moose is there. The moose, a hunted animal, it could change its direction, could run off at any second. So for right now, all you can get is you can get like one move and one kind of skill check of some sort. Some sort of action before we're in it. We're hunting this thing. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So, what are you going to do? And we can go in any order because we're not quite in encounter mode yet. We're still in exploration mode. The moose is unaware that you're there. So you can move and you can do one thing, make one kind of check.
I think AWOL would open with trying to move through the brush that's off to our left and try to move as silent as possible to not disturb the creature or have it hear him, and move to the, try to move. I mean, you wouldn't get there in this turn, but the idea is cutting off that path to the creature's left that it could have if it sprinted along the river. Mm-hmm. Cutting off one exit is basically what I'm saying, and driving it into the trees, which would make it harder for it to move through.
So we've got this sort of like corridor where we've got trees on the left of it, and then some trees and what looks like maybe a cliff on the right of it, with space in the middle, sort of a direct shot towards the moose. But then he's got
it's not
this
really
space.
A cliff, it's more of a slope.
Just a slope.
Yeah.
Okay. More of a slope, and I don't think an extremely steep one, except for there where it's like very dark and shadowy, mm-hmm. where, you know, the sun isn't quite hitting it. So what I hear is that AWOL is going to avoid notice over to that sort of
move. Yeah, I'm going to avoid notice heading to the, we'll say the west. If the moose is to the northwest, it's going to start heading west to cut off its western escape route.
Do you want to keep going, or you, is that little
sure?
The little
is
escape?
It going to be a full turn? So like three moves kind of thing?
Yeah,
or are we
I
in
just,
exploration mode.
Let's do exploration mode. Right, so you can just avoid notice roll. That's the only thing I want, because if you let this moose know you're here, we're going to suddenly be in encounter mode, and you're going to be the only one out there by yourself.
I'm going to go all the way up to the farthest point of these brush and trees that would hide it from view, you know, assuming that we're downwind, would allow me to not be seen by the creature, and maybe I could jump out if needed to scare it back in. So I will avoid notice, moving about 70
because you've
feet
moved
so
behind
about.
Because you've moved behind the trees, I'm going to say that you have cover. So go ahead and add plus, I think it's greater cover because you're really behind like a thick clump of trees. Go ahead and add plus 4 to that roll.
Okay, so he's going to move as quietly as possible through the snow. Come on, AWOL. Opens the campaign with a natural 1.
Oh,
are you serious?
God.
I am shocked. Shocked.
Don't forget that has a plus 4, though.
Well, yeah. Oh, man. So do what you will, Jared, but with the plus 4, that is a...
Honestly,
that
you
is
spoke
a
this into being by the first thing you did was run into me.
Okay, so the plus 4 means you... That the plus 4 means you rolled a 5 altogether.
No, I rolled a 12 altogether.
A 12 altogether. Okay.
I rolled stealth. I mean, that's what I figured.
Oh, right. You have stealth skill.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you're coming from 5e, a 1 would be disastrous. But in Pathfinder 2e, we go, you know, a critical failure would be 10 below the DC. I can tell you that the DC, the perception DC for this moose was 10. It has no wisdom bonus. So, or wait, it is trained. Well, let me see here. Yeah, I believe that you succeeded, actually.
Well, it's up to you. I mean, I'm not sure that for all skill checks, fumbles are a thing. I don't think
they
necessarily are.
Oh, no, it is. It
are.
Is. Actually, forgive me. Because you did roll a one, we go down one step from success to failure. So you have failed.
Okay, great. That makes perfect sense.
Yeah, that makes sense. So you have failed, and that means that the moose notices you.
Oh,
and that means that we are going to enter encounter mode.
Okay.
Oh,
now. So how do you think you failed? What happened, AWOL?
Oh, AWOL.
Yeah, I think that he was, it's classic. He was just coming up through the brush, and I think a mixture of fallen leaves and wet snow just completely covered a root system that was coming out from the trees that was pitched that he didn't see. And he just stepped on this slippery, slick root system that he was not aware of, and just his foot went right out. His, like, you know, animal hide boot went right out along from under him, and he just fell. Like, just shoo, and it slid down like 3 or 4 feet into the snow.
So you didn't even get a chance to, you know, kind of cut off the root, really, or do anything to cut off the root. However, the moose is focused on you right now. We are in encounter mode. Everybody roll initiative.
Okay. So I would roll technically stealth for initiative, right? Because I was in...
Yes, you can roll stealth. Notice. Everybody else can roll perception.
I was in avoid notice mode. Okay, so for AWOL, that is a 22.
Okay, great.
I seriously thought that we would not be rolling any initiatives in episode one. I'm pleasantly surprised.
The quest of the frozen flame opens with an encounter.
I have 16 for my initiative.
Very good.
23
for Raga. And that means that Raga, you're going to go first.
Okay.
So, just so you know, everybody's aware of what happened. AWOL slipped. You hear bushes, like, cracking twigs and things like that. And then suddenly the moose gets stiff and perks up its head and snuffs loudly. And that's when you jump into action. Raga, what do you do?
Welcome to Mick Unplugged, the number one podcast for self-improvement and modern leadership. I'm Mick Hunt, your host, and I'm here to challenge your why and fuel your because. This is where leaders, entrepreneurs, and go-getters come to level up. Each week, I bring you unfiltered conversations, game-changing strategies, and the kind of motivation that transforms lives and legacies. I've learned from legends like Les Brown, Damon John, and Robert Irvine. And now, I'm bringing their lessons, along with mine, straight to you. From modern leadership tips to creating unstoppable momentum, this is the podcast that redefines what's possible. Hit play, subscribe, and join the millions who've made Mick Unplugged their go-to source for growth and greatness. Because your next breakthrough is just one episode away. This is Mick Unplugged, the voice and face of modern leadership, entrepreneur, and self-improvement. Let's get started.
Welcome to the realms of peril and glory. Explore the mechanically magical vistas of Vale, the paranormal mysteries of liminal London, and the cyberpunk chaos of Cyborg. Be awed by our incredible guests from familiar shows like Oxventure and No Rolls Barred. Search Realms of Peril and Glory to find out more.
From the darkest corners of our imagination comes a game show that's more ridiculous than terrifying. Welcome to Tickled to Death. I'm your host, Roz Hernandez, and I'll be guiding guests through the creepy questions and chaotic games, all to win the ultimate title of Horror Movie Champion. Listen to Tickled to Death wherever you get your podcasts, and hit follow, unless you want the show to follow you.
My first action is I'm going to command an animal. I'm going to command Baba to try and cut off the moose from the direction that AWOL probably scared it into. So I'm going to send Baba north, like around that slope area.
Right, okay.
So he's going to go up here by this slope to try and cut him off.
Okay.
That's my command and animal.
Wait, so you are a druid, right?
I am a druid. Sorry. I am a druid.
Yeah. When we did session zero, you weren't sure what you were going to be, so you landed on druid.
Right. I landed on druid.
Animal order.
Of animal order.
Yes.
And I have a short spear and a small wooden shield. But I've got lots of fun spells, and I've got my brother here to help us out during combat.
Awesome.
Okay, so you commanded an animal, and that means you issued an order, and that means Baba gets two actions, because he's your animal companion, and if you use one of your actions to command an animal, Baba gets two actions. Has he taken those actions?
I want him to ready an attack. Am I using D&D terms?
No, ready is completely okay, usable, except that it takes two actions to ready something. And he has only one action left, so you cannot have Baba ready anything right now.
Okay, then he's gonna chill there and be a spirit.
Okay, so he ran up there.
He can maybe intimidate.
Would you like for him to try a demoralize against the moose?
Yeah, I really would like him to try a demoralize.
That makes sense. Okay. If you want to demoralize the moose using your animal companion, Baba, that's going to be an intimidation roll with a +3, I believe.
Perfect. Ooh, okay, that is a 7 +3.
A 10 altogether actually gets past its will DC. So it will be at a negative, it'll be frightened. Frightened 1.
Wow, this moose is a wimp.
Baba.
It's a gentle giant.
For real, I mean,
that's his natural predator is the polar bear.
That's
come
true.
On.
If the polar bear made any attempt to intimidate me, it would work.
Yeah. My exactly. DC is 0.
Yeah, polar bear growled at this moose, and it is now scared to go in the direction of the polar bear. Mary Lou, Raga still has two actions left.
I am going to just move... to back up my friend AWOL. So. Okay.
Moving through the brush toward AWOL.
All right, that's difficult terrain to go like straight through brush. The brush. Mm-hmm. So you need to use, you know, half your movement. Okay, great. You're in the middle of the brush and the bushes like really thick in there and you have one action left. Would you like to continue to move another stride?
Yeah, I'm just going to do that again.
Okay, great. Great, and now you're out of the brush into this little kind of corridor between two huge sections of brush. Mm-hmm. Perhaps one of the moose's other ways that
escape
it could escape
options.
The area. Mm-hmm. Yeah, another option. Okay, that was Raga, and now let's talk to AWOL. AWOL, what do you do?
All right, so he'll scrambles up from the snow. we'll say as an action. Let's just say he was prone. So he scrambles up. And then, knowing that the creature knows he's there, I think he's going to try to utilize that to maybe drive the creature toward Pocano's spear, right? If he's so confident that maybe AWOL, not getting the jump on him, originally wanting to use his bow, is going to scramble up as an action. Second action, I'm going to hunt prey. That's his second action. Hmm. So he's just sort of eyeing up where, you know, he's eyeing up the creature and getting a sense that he knows that it's frightened from the bear, so he's going to try to double down on that. And he'll move out. He'll just move out. So he sort of like steps out from behind the trees, about 20-30 feet from the moose, and allows himself to be seen to try to scare it back into the pocket of the other hunters. That's his thinking right now. But he's not doing anything. He has no actions left. So he's not demoralized or anything. He's just interposing himself in this escape route. And he's got his hands out and like up at the creature. And he's not sure what he's going to do yet. He's going to wait and see what the creature does.
Okay, great. It is now, that's all he's going to do?
That was three actions. I got up, I hunted prey, and I moved out to block its path.
Great, thank you. Okay, so now it is the moose's turn. And
I'm so nervous. I'm like, whoa, God.
Where's she gonna go?
What am I
going
to do on my turn?
I'm nervous too. Okay, here we go. The moose is going to. The moose is more concerned, I think, with the creature that just demoralized it, the growling baby polar bear, than it is with AWOL. So the moose will use. The moose will move to AWOL and attack.
Oh, no. Oh, no. This was what I was worried about, but I was like, I'm just going to do it. Just going to do it. Mm. Oh, man. So this moose comes bearing down on you. My father-in-law was talking about, you know, seeing a moose in person, went on like a fishing trip to Canada, and he was just like, they are really scary.
They're terrifying.
They're so big and so erratic. Like, you never know when they'll just turn and charge on you. Oh.
Like, it really, it's like seeing a monster outside. Mm-hmm. It's crazy seeing one in real life. It's amazing.
It towers over you. It's almost as tall as Olog. The musk of it hits your nostrils, AWOL, you suddenly realize you are in intimate contact with a huge, alien creature here, and it is about to engage with you in melee. So let's see here. It is going to use its antlers as it. It's moved and it's using its antlers. And its antler attack. It rolls a 17 versus your AC, which I think is a miss,
that
right?
That is a miss. Yeah.
Nice.
Just barely a miss. And so it just scratches up along some of his hide, but he just dodges out of the way. And the antler misses. He's trying to keep his footing. He's terrified.
I think that now it is acting so erratic that after it tries to smash you with an antler, it then changes direction and it moves back into the middle of the clearing.
That's so cool.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
And it's like rumbling along like ka-kung, 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 ka-kung. And that's all of its actions. It's now in the middle of the clearing. That brings us to Yelka.
Okay. Oh, boy. Okay, the first thing Yelka does... let me just check. How many actions...
Wait, forgive me. Olog, I didn't get your... What is your initiative?
Yeah, sorry. I rolled a natural 1 for a 6.
Great. Okay, great. Go ahead,
Yelka.
And
that Yelka, was your first roll of the campaign, right?
Yeah, that was my first roll.
We're starting out great.
Fantastic start.
Ice cold.
So for my first action, you see a bit of... Almost like a gust of wind kind of around Yelka as she taps into something slightly otherworldly. And she just speaks the name Picano and grants him guidance with his name.
Oh, nice.
Wow.
As the first action. And then she will... run. I have a speed of 25 feet. I would like to kind of run up to my movement, 25 feet, to be in this corner of brush right here that's kind of parallel with the moose. And then take an action to, if I can, kind of hide or conceal myself within that brush.
Okay, so you would have cover, so here? It's going to be difficult to hide. Yeah, you can get that. Well, if you're in there, you can definitely hide, no problem. Would you like to hide?
Yes.
Okay.
Try and, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, great. Then just give me a stealth check. And because you're in, I'm going to call it greater cover, add plus 4 to that check.
Okay. Oh, boy. Alrighty. That's a 4 on the dice, plus a 5. Stealth is 9, plus 4 is 13.
13. 13's still enough. So you are hidden from the moose, which means I believe it's flat-footed against you. If you were to take an attack against it or something like that.
Right.
So, very good. And now it is Picano's turn. Picano has guidance. Giving him a plus one, right, to whatever he attempts here, right?
Yes, and this lasts until the start of my next turn. So he gets a plus one status bonus to one attack roll, perception check, saving throw, or skill check before my next turn.
So one, well, Pecano's going to use it for an attack roll. He comes running into the clearing, hooting and whooping, and as soon as he gets close enough to the moose, he tries to stab his spear down into the moose, and let's see how he does. He rolls a 23. That's a hit.
Yeah.
And
nice.
He does 13 damage to the moose.
Nice.
Wow.
Nice.
That's a lot of damage.
Amazing. Wow, he's living up to the hype.
Yeah.
All right, yeah.
He's the hero of the story so far. and as he does this, you can see him look back at you and go, "Come on, help me!" Then it is Olog's turn.
Okay, so I want to retcon something.
Or wait, I'm so sorry, Olog. He has another action left.
Oh.
Pecano's stupid enough to go ahead and do his spear again.
All right.
It's not that stupid, actually, because it's only a negative five. Mm-hmm. Let's try it. That time he rolled a 26.
Oh, wow.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
Yeah. Actually, let me make sure.
Yeah, that seems high.
That seems ridiculous, and, you know, we're just learning roll 20 here a little bit. Let's do it this way.
Roll an old-fashioned die.
An old-fashioned actual die says that he rolled a 3.
So that's
he's
very
at negative
different.
2 before we add. So he misses on his second attack with his multiple attack penalty. Okay, and now let's turn it over to Olog.
Okay, so I would like to retcon, like, while we were discussing our plan of action, Olog just very quietly sort of lifted his axe off of his shoulders and just laid it down on the ground next to him. So he's unarmed right now. And he looks at the moose. He sees what Pecano just did. It's just, "Moose!" And he charges at it with his fists. So he rages, charges.
Oh my gosh.
And he's going to swing at it with one of his fists.
Oh my God, you're just punching a moose.
Punching a moose in the brain.
Okay.
But you have a feat that helps with this, right?
I do. I have the Iron Fists feat, so my unarmed attacks do lethal damage.
Oh,
I rolled
gosh.
A natural 19 for a 26.
Yeah. Wow.
And I assume that's a hit there.
A 26 is a hit? Yes.
Okay. And I do 10 points of damage.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Wow.
What a badass.
Amazing. You smash the moose right in the nose with your enormous iron fist. It makes sort of a sound of grief and sorrow. And then we go back to the top of the second round with Raga.
Okay, I'm going to move to flank this moose. So I think that makes here. I'm also going to issue a command to Baba to also
flank it, right?
Yeah.
So right now you understand Raga is not in flank and Baba isn't quite. So you need to be on opposite ends from Olog in order to flank, I believe.
Or Pecano, right?
Or Pecano. Each other.
Yeah.
Or each other.
Or each other.
Yeah. Okay, now Baba is definitely flanking.
And so is Raga.
And so is Raga.
I'm flanking with Olog.
Okay,
so
great.
I wanted everybody
to
have a
flank. So this moose is surrounded by a polar bear, a young woman with a spear and a shield, a strapping Kellid warrior, and a 7-foot-tall orc. I'm worried about this moose.
I feel bad for this moose.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, it's not great. Since I only have one action left, I am going to strike with my spear.
Okay.
Sink it in its flesh.
Oof. I only rolled a 5.
Oh, no.
My modifier.
No.
No.
Yeah, I only rolled a 5. So, and
even
I,
with your plus 1.
And it is it, oh, well, it is flat-footed against me, but with my plus 1, it's a 6. So,
I think. Wait, what's okay, a plus 1? Your to hit with the weapon is plus 1.
Okay, actually, I do have a plus 4 to hit, but that still just makes it a 9, so I do that makes, not that, that hits.
Not enough to hit, even with flanking. Do you have any actions left?
No, that's all my actions. I moved, I issued a command, and I tried to strike.
And Baba moved, but he gets 2 actions. Does he do anything else?
Yeah, he's gonna strike.
Yeah.
Okay, great.
He's gonna strike the shit out of this moose.
He's gonna strike this. This is like what he was made for, you know?
So he gets a plus 6 to his attack roll.
He's so good. Mm-hmm. That is an 18.
Oh. An 18 is a hit right yes. now because the moose is being flanked.
Let's go.
Baba does 1. He was using his claws, you said, right?
Yes. 1d6
plus 3 damage.
1d6 plus 3.
Come on, roll a 6.
Okay, 5 damage.
5 damage. Okay, no problem. Okay, nice work, Baba. Nice work, Raga. Then we go to AWOL.
AWOL is way out of position. He is 50 feet away after the moose hit him and then charged back into the clearing, so he is going to just sprint to try to get into this, but he's unarmed at the moment. So he is going to draw one of his weapons, and he's going to run at the creature. Comes barreling through the snow until he's all the way up to the creature and flanking as well, but he's out of actions and can't attack this round. But he gets all the way up to it in melee.
Okay. There you go, AWOL. AWOL is in position. And now we come to the moose.
Oh, surrounded.
So the moose has a thing it can do called trample.
No.
The monster strides up to double its speed and can move through the spaces of creatures of the listed size, medium or smaller, trampling each creature whose space it enters. The monster can attempt to trample the same creature only once in a single use of trample. The monster deals the damage of the listed strike, which would be its hoof strike. But trampled creatures can attempt a basic reflex save.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Okay.
Perfect.
So the moose is going to first move into AWOL and Raga's space, then up to Baba. Then, does it have enough movement to get back down to the others? It was here. It goes 1.
Wow, this thing is going to tear us up. 2.
Oh, my gosh. Should have hidden in the brush like your squishy spell.
Yeah, it has.
Like my witchy friend.
It has. With 2 strides, it definitely has enough. It definitely has enough to get through all of you.
Mm.
So, it is going to... let's see. You can all make a reflex save.
Okay.
9.
Okay.
15.
Oh, baby. 24 for AWOL.
Ooh, nice.
If you got a 24, you succeeded. What did I... Oh, and Yelka's not there. Okay, yep. So the 15 and the 9 do not succeed, and I need to roll one for Pecano, actually.
Yeah, so a reflex save for Pecano. And then I think you just roll the damage once, right? Or do you roll it for each person?
I'll roll the damage once.
Okay.
Okay, Pecano fails as well. So here we go. It's a hoof attack. And everybody takes it. And he didn't even have to roll an attack roll. You guys had to roll a reflex save. So everybody takes 11 bludgeoning damage from that if you fail.
Olog,
Pecano. And AWOL, but no, AWOL got a 24. How did Baba do?
Oh, I forgot to roll one for Baba.
Add plus 3 for.
He did not pass. He rolled a 7.
All right, Baba takes 11 as well. Okay.
So AWOL takes half damage, so he would take 5.
Yeah, he would take 5. And that's the moose's turn.
So
sweet.
Baba only has 8 hit points.
So Baba is down.
Baba's down.
Oh,
my
no.
Baba.
He's dying one.
Oh, no.
He's dying one.
Oh, he's so, like, I'm picturing, because you said, the first thing you said was that he's your little brother.
He's my brother.
And that he's so young. Brother. And so I pictured, like, a little polar bear. It's still very dangerous. But, like, up against a moose, that is so
You have ways
terrifying.
Of dealing with that. You have ways of dealing with that as an animal companion druid. Okay.
I do.
So, now, let me go to Yelka. Yelka, your friends need you.
Oh, my gosh. This has changed my plans.
No,
okay.
Yelka.
Yelka, seeing her friends go down in this way, would you say I have line of sight to the moose where I am right now? Or would you like me to come out of this brush?
You have line of sight. You have line of sight.
From here within the brush, and hopefully it's still flat-footed to me because I'm still hidden from it. I'd like to think it's really distracted by its rampage as well at this moment. Yelka knows that now is the time to tap into whatever she has deep within her. She is going to first stride, this is so dumb, ride up to this moose.
Oh no.
Let's she has go. To touch
known
it.
Known frontline fighter, Yelka.
She has to touch it. I stride out till I'm right up at this, I'm running. Her tight braid flowing behind her, the raven feathers fluttering, the gust of wind around her picking up even more fiercely, and she is going to use one of her focus points.
Okay.
Casting a focus spell.
Tempest Touch.
Oh, okay.
So this is one of my focus spells. I have to touch the creature. So she runs right up, and I thrust my hand onto this moose, just the whatever part I can get to first. And this calls forth a churning mass of icy water that clings to the moose. It has to attempt a fortitude save.
Okay.
That's so cool.
Okay, it rolled a 12 for its fortitude save.
And my spell DC is 17.
Oh, yeah, that's
so
a fail.
So that's a fail. So it's going to take full damage and a minus 10-foot circumstance penalty to its speeds until the end of my next turn. So it's slowed by 10 feet. And I now roll 1d4 bludgeoning damage and 1d4 cold damage.
That's great.
That is awesome.
Yeah, that's huge.
And it shortens its trample drastically.
Right.
I just rolled a 4, so that's 1d4 bludgeoning.
Wow.
Nice.
And 4 bludgeoning and 3 cold damage.
So awesome. 7 altogether, right?
7 altogether.
Nice.
That is only one action. So for my third action, I'm running back into this brush. I can't hide again, but I just need distance. So I'm running back.
Yelka jumps out of the brush, runs up, touches the moose. Suddenly icicles and frost cover the moose. You see it like get cold and shiver, and then Yelka runs back into the brush.
I'm like, bye. Talk about getting the cold shoulder, she says to herself as she runs back.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
All right.
Nice, Paula.
That was Yelka. Now it's Pecano's turn. Pecano is still in melee range of the beast. And so Pecano is going to roll his attack for his first action. And Pecano is going to do very well. Pecano is going to roll a, 30 for his
Whoa.
Attack.
That's
very well done.
That's a crit.
So he gets double damage. Here he goes. Yeah, here he goes. And that's 12 times 2 is 24 damage.
Awesome.
Wow. Wow.
He really is the hero.
Yeah.
So funny.
Okay. That's Pecano. And he's like pulling his like spear out of the moose, and he looks up at Olog and smiles like, you know, I have bloodlust and I love killing living things.
He's fun. I like him.
And that, it means that it is Olog's turn.
Okay, Olog is going to take the chance that it does not have attacks of opportunity, this moose, and kind of move around to its back hindquarters across from Pecora to be in flanking position. And he's still raging. Die, you rime-covered forest fool! That is an 18 to hit.
That is a hit because it is currently flanked.
Okay, that's nice. 9 points of damage.
All right. Mm.
9 points of damage, you say?
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Get him. Get him.
Oh, look.
Boom. Yes. The moose falls to its side.
Yes.
Like a pollen kind of is kicked up by it landing hard on the ground where there are some flowers, and the pollen drifts through the air like smoke rising from a bonfire. And the moose kind of kicks for a second and is dead.
Mm. Yes. Olog!
There's no feeling quite like punching a moose to death.
How very barbaric.
I'm feeling it, man. This is great.
The moose has gone down. Encounter mode is over. Weepa walks into the clearing and is like, terrible. What were you thinking, Ewol?
He hangs his head. He's got his blade in his hands. Hangs his head and he just slides the blade back into his sheath. Puts his chin back up.
Sorry. Won't happen again.
And like with a fierce determination in his eyes.
She puts her hand against the moose's flank and looks up at all of you and it says, when we are hunting, the animal's death should be clean. That is why we prepare. That is why we get into position and find advantage so that it does not need to needlessly suffer. She looks directly into Picano's eyes. And Picano says, ha! What are you looking at me for? I'm the one that brought it down! Come. We must slaughter this beast. I'll teach you how to use all the parts of the animal. She pulls a big knife out of her belt and she sets to work on the moose. And that's where we will end this episode.
The premiere episode.
Wow.
Oh, man, with a hunt.
So awesome.
We open with a big encounter. The moose is down. Congratulations, everybody. Really good work. We will be back very soon with another episode, and we're going to learn more about the Broken Tusk following and our PC's position within it when we come back next time. Until then, happy exploring. Go out, see the wilderness. Slaughter a moose if you can. Thank you, Skidmauer.
Yeah.
Mary Lou.
Hi.
Paula Deming and Joe O'Brien.
Oh, yay.
Good night, everybody.
Moose jerky for all.
Bye, everybody.
Yeah, that's my favorite.
Welcome to Mick Unplugged, the number one podcast for self-improvement and modern leadership. I'm Mick Hunt, your host, and I'm here to challenge your why and fuel your because. This is where leaders, entrepreneurs, and go-getters come to level up. Each week, I bring you unfiltered conversations, game-changing strategies, and the kind of motivation that transforms lives and legacies. I've learned from legends like Les Brown, Damon John, and Robert Irvine, and now I'm bringing their lessons, along with mine, straight to you. From modern leadership tips to creating unstoppable momentum, this is the podcast that redefines what's possible. Hit play, subscribe,
and join the millions who've made Mick Unplugged their go-to source for growth and greatness, because your next breakthrough is just one episode away. This is Mick Unplugged, the voice and face of modern leadership, entrepreneur, and self-improvement. Let's get started.
Legendary stories, awe-inspiring sound, and endless adventure. Welcome to the realms of peril and glory. Explore the mechanically magical vistas of Vale, the paranormal mysteries of liminal London, and the cyberpunk chaos of Cyborg. Fall in love with our core cast, or be awed by our incredible guests from familiar shows like Oxventure, Three Black Halflings, and No Rolls Barred. Ignite your imagination and discover the realms of peril and glory today. Go to realmspod.com or search Realms of Peril and Glory wherever you listen to podcasts.